We might not like what they do, and we might not like the action. You know, it grieves my spirit to see people standing on the corner selling drugs to other people in the community. It wounds my spirit to see people out there selling their bodies to others that drive by through the community. But you know what? As angry as I get and as upset as I can get at that, I need to come back and realize that God got the pimps and the prostitutes in his hand, and that he loves them. And that if we think that we're so high and holy and mighty that, you know, we are removed from that, and oh my goodness, you know, I can't touch that, I can't come in contact. Man, you know what, we got some serious problems as people. And you know what, we're really going to have some problems when we get to heaven too. Because there are going to be some pimps and prostitutes and drunken women and short-dressed women that are there that we didn't expect to be there. And so we need to pray and ask God for a heart for people. And again, not that we find our fellowship. I'm not saying that. And not that we, you know, get out there and do what they do. But that somewhere in our heart that there is a love for people.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of God Uses Things and Loves People. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of God Uses Things and Loves People.
My name is Jonah. God called me to go to Nineveh. He called me to go to Nineveh, but I realized that the people at Nineveh were wicked. I realized that the people in Nineveh tortured the captives. As a matter of fact, I heard a story one time how that they captured an army that was the enemy. And they brought the king, and they bore a hole through his nose and put a chain and drug him by the chain through the streets. I heard one time that they went into a community and they killed everybody in there, and they cut off their heads and they put their heads on poles and let their heads rot out on those poles. I heard that these people of Nineveh were wicked. And when God called me to go to Nineveh, I wanted to go as far away from there as I could. As a matter of fact, I got on a ship, and as I got on the ship, I said, "What do you have going east?" Because I knew that Nineveh was west, and I was trying to get as far away from there as I could. And so the man reminded me that we do have ships daily going to Tarshish, which is in Spain. So I paid my fare, and as I paid my fare, I got on the boat, and I went down into the bottom of the boat. And as I was down at the bottom of the boat, a storm arose out on the sea. I mean, and this was a bad storm, but you know what? I was so far away from God that I didn't even realize that the storm had taken place. Then all of a sudden, I was shook, and I was awakened by the captain of the vessel, and he came, and he said, "Awake, O sleeper, and pray to your God, because this ship is about to sink." And I woke, and I began to pray. And they didn't know that I was running from God at the time. And so they said, "Let's cast lots and let's see why this evil has come upon us." And so they cast lots, and wouldn't you know it, the lot fell on me. And they said, "It's because of you that this evil has come upon us. Why has this evil come upon us?" And I told them that God had called me to go to Tarshish and go to Nineveh and preach to the Ninevites. And I was running from God. And that I serve the God of heaven, and that he is after me right now. And the reason that he is after me is because I'm disobedient and I'm rebellious, and he caused this storm on my account. And the mariners asked me, well, how can we get this storm to stop? And Jonah said, there's only one way to get the storm to stop, and that's throw me into the ocean. And they said, we can't do that. We can't have your blood upon our hands. And so we began to row harder. And we began to row harder. And we began to row harder. And the harder we rowed, the worse the storm got. And so eventually, everybody came to the conclusion that I had to be thrown overboard. And so they all lifted me up, and they threw me overboard. And as I was going down into the water, I began to pray unto the Lord. And I said, Lord, you threw me into the depth of the ocean. I sank down into the heart of the sea. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Oh, Lord, you have driven me from your presence. How will I ever again see your holy temple? I am sinking beneath the waves, and Lord, I'm almost close to death. The waters are closed in around me, and the seaweed is wrapped around my head. I sank down to the roots of the ocean floor. I was locked in a prison in the land of the dead. And then about that time, wouldn't you know it, a great fish came and swallowed me up and saved me from the drowning in the ocean. And I cried out to the Lord from the belly of the fish, and I said, oh, Lord, my God, you have snatched me from the jaws of death. Lord, when I was drowning in the sea and I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts toward you, and you heard my prayer. And Lord, you saved me from this watery grave. And about that time, God must have tickled the belly of the fish, because he spit me up on the land. And as I stood there on the land, the word of God came to me a second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh and preach unto that great city. And I went and I preached. And you know, to walk through Nineveh was like a 3 days journey. And so for 3 days, I walked through the streets of Nineveh saying, 40 days if you don't repent, that the Lord is going to destroy you. And wouldn't you know it, that every last one of those Ninevites, from the king on down to the little child, all repented and they gave their life to God. But you know what? That's not really what I wanted. I wanted to see God wipe them out. I wanted to see God destroy them. So I saw him repent, but I still believed that God was going to destroy them. And so you know what I did? I went up on the hillside, and I looked, and I looked, and I waited for God to destroy every last one of them. And while I was waiting, I saw that God wasn't going to do it. I saw they repented, and I saw that he was going to spare them. And man, I got angry. I got upset, because God knew how wicked they were. He knew how evil they were, and he spared them. He let them live. And so I went and I built me a booth on the hillside, because it was a hot, sunny day. And I was trying to get out of the sun, but you know, the booth was only so big. And I was under it, and the shadow came, but as the sun moved, I was out in the sun, and it was beating down on me, and it was scorching me. And God let a gourd grow up, a plant, and it gave me all the shade in the world that I needed. And man, you know what? I was so happy. I was so happy that God sent that gourd. And you know, the next day, God sent a worm, and that worm came. I don't know what it did. It must have took a bite or something out of that gourd, but all of a sudden, the gourd withered, and it died, and I was upset, and I said, God, why don't you just kill me? Why don't you just take my life? And God sent a wind. And that wind blew against me, and it beat me down, and I became so weary and so tired, and I said, God, I'm ready to die. Why don't you just take my life? And wouldn't you know it, about that time, God shows up, and God says to me, he says, Jonah, you mean to tell me that you were happy about a gourd that grew up and gave you shade, and you're angry with me because I spared 120,000 people who didn't know their right hand from their left hand? That I showed mercy on you when I sent that gourd to cover you from the sun. And you mean to tell me that you can't see mercy and show mercy to 120,000 people who are going to die and perish? And with that, God departed and left me on that hillside. This is our last message in our series on For Such a Time as This. And we've asked the question, does God have Bethany in this community for such a time as this? Does God have you here to be a member of Bethany Baptist Church for such a time as this? The fact that you are sitting here today means that God has called you. God has called you by nature of you being here today, because the reality is that most of us sitting here today are in one of three situations. We either live in this community, we work in this community, or we worship in this community. And given the fact that we fall into one of those three categories, God has called us to turn this community upside down. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus told the disciples, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. God has called us to turn Homewood upside down. Now, God saved a whole city of people. 120,000, if we read the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Jonah, 120,000 people were saved. And so this lets us know that God has the power to change a city. God has the power. If you look in Jonah chapter 1, Brother T.L., if you can hook me up on my second pair of eyes there. Thank you. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, God said to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. That God has the power to save, in this book, a wicked city. And if God can save a wicked city, surely God can save the cities of America. Surely God can save Homewood. And not only that, not only does God save a city, but also God can save people who want to have absolutely nothing to do with his will, that God can save them. And as we read the book of Jonah, we see that very clearly in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. Jonah says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Look at this. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah was running from God. Jonah was a rebel. Jonah wanted absolutely nothing to do with God. And sometimes, as the pastor of this church, in a community where it seems like and I thank God there are some godly people in this community. There's some godly people that live in this community that are here right now worshiping in this church. And I thank God for you. I just want to let you know that. I thank God. But we all see that there's a whole lot of people, not only in this community, but in a lot of communities, that want to have absolutely nothing to do with God. Isn't that what Jonah was? Isn't that the same place Jonah was in? Jonah wanted nothing to do with God or his will, and he ran. But eventually Jonah came to realize that God can save rebels. That should be encouraging. That should be exciting. To know that God can save folk that want to have absolutely nothing to do with him. I don't know where God found you, but when he began to touch my heart, I didn't want anything to do with him. And so I thank God that he pursued me, and he brought me to that place where I knew that he was God and that he provides salvation. The third thing that we see is that God not only saved a wicked city, God can save rebels, but look what it says in chapter 4 and verse 2. It says that God is gracious and merciful. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and great in kindness, and that you repent, or you sometimes will turn your evil away. Man, God loves Homewood. He loves all the cities. But this is where we're at right now. God loves Homewood. And as I think about the fact that God loves Homewood, that there's a song that, and this might be where we relate individually at, because God loves people and he uses things. You know, the sad reality of a lot of people is that we love things and we use people. This song was written by B.J. Thomas, and it's entitled Loving Things and Using People. Using things and loving people, that's the way it's got to be. Using things and loving people, look around and you will see that loving things and using people only leads to misery. Using things and loving people, that's the way it's got to be. And as I look at the book of Jonah, we see that God used four things because he loved people. But the problem is that many people, we revert that and we say, well, I'm going to love things and use people. Let me remind you of a present-day illustration that many of us are familiar with, a man by the name of Bernie Madoff, who ran one of the largest financial frauds in U.S. history. He took folks' money, and some estimates that he took almost $65 billion, and that his lifestyle was so lavish and elaborate that few people on this earth could have touched the lifestyle that he had. And what did he do? Watch this. He used people because he loved things. And what did the songwriter say? That when you do this, it only leads to misery. So now, there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of people who lost their retirement that they had saved their whole life for. You got people in his family that committed suicide. And now he's in jail for 150 years. Why is that? Because he loved things and he used people. Would to God that we would have the heart of God and that we would not love things, but that God would give us a heart for people. You know, God loves people. God loves all people. I have a good friend, Salim Gabriel. He's the head of the Pittsburgh Project. And I heard him tell this story. And I emailed him last week, and I asked him, could I share this story? And he said, by all means, go ahead and share it. But we had, at one point, some of our young people had gone over onto the north side to the Pittsburgh Project. And what they would do in the summertime, they would work on houses. They would rehab houses, especially for needy people in the community. And then after they spent a week rehabbing, they would have like a worship service where they would call the kids that rehab the houses, and they would, the people whose houses they worked on, they would bring them all together. And so they had a big dinner one night, and afterwards they always had a worship service. And so after they ate, there was a gentleman there whose house they had worked on. And his name was Deacon Jenkins. And he was maybe a deacon in the church. I don't know. Maybe he's like, I grew up with a couple guys named Deacon, right? And they wasn't anybody's church, so I'm not sure if Deacon Jenkins was a deacon in the church. But anyhow, he was about 87 years old. And Salim said, you know, he walked with a cane, and he had a goatee. And after dinner, Salim said that we're going upstairs, and we're going to, you know, sing some songs, and then we're going to hear the word of God. And he said, Deacon Jenkins came over to him and said, I got a song. And Salim said, well, you want to sing it? He said, yeah, I want to sing. I want to sing a song. And so Salim said, well, what song are you going to sing? He said, well, I'm not sure right now, but I got a song, and I want to sing it. And so Salim said, they got up there, and he told Salim, well, and I want you to play while I'm singing. And so Salim stood up there. He said he had no idea what was going to come out of Deacon Jenkins' mouth. And he said all of a sudden Deacon Jenkins started to sing. He got the whole world in his hand. 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 And he said that, you know, everybody started getting into it, right? And they started singing. And he said Deacon Jenkins broke out into the next verse. He got the little bitty babies in his hand. He got the little bitty babies. And he said, man, people started grooving on that, and they were singing. And then Deacon Jenkins went on to the third verse. And Deacon Jenkins said, he got you and me, brother, in his hand. He got you and me, brother. He said, man, by that time, everybody was just into it. And then he said Deacon Jenkins broke out, and he started freestyling. He said Deacon Jenkins went on to the next verse. He got the drunken women in his hand. He got the drunken women in his hand. He got the drunken women in his hand. He got the whole world in his hand. And Deacon Jenkins had them rolling. He said, we got the short-skirted women in his hand. He got the short-skirted women in his hand. He got the short-skirted women in his hand. And Sling said, just when I thought that it could not get any worse, and I'm going to clean it up a little bit because we're here on Sunday morning. He said, he got the pimps and the prostitutes in his hand. He got the pimps and the prostitutes in his hand. And Salim said, as embarrassed as he was as they sang that song, he said one thing that he realized is that Deacon Jenkins was right. Because if he don't got the short-skirted women, if he don't got the drunken women, if he don't got the pimps and the prostitutes in his hand, then he ain't got you and me, brother, either. And so we need to realize that God loves people. Pimps, prostitutes, drunks, whatever the case, man, God loves people. And God has called us to love people. We might not like what they do, and we might not like the action. You know, it grieves my spirit to see people standing on the corner selling drugs to other people in the community. It wounds my spirit to see people out there selling their bodies.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of God Uses Things and Loves People. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, God Uses Things and Loves People, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God Uses Things and Loves People. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God Uses Things and Loves People. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.